Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Not signing that dude. He's hitting .249. He was 0 for 3 last night. I was thinking about this because I'm watching this and he's a marketing machine. So there's two ways to slice this, and this is where I finally decided, this is where I land on the Harper situation. About a year too late, by the way, with the take. As a baseball signing, it's a bad move. As a business signing, it's a great move. That's what this comes down to. And I know that that's not that unique, but there is no way the amount of money that guy gets paid, he's ever going to justify that. He is not. Would you call him a top five player in baseball? Take away all the hype and everything you've seen. Just take this season and compare it to the rest of Major League Baseball. Is he top five?
No, he might be top 20. I don't think you can put him in the top 10. And we can.
He's
just,
like 60th in home runs.
Let's just say hitters only. Let's put pitchers in a different category because it really is hard to compare pitchers to hitters. Is he a top five hitter? No. Is he top 10? No. Is he top 20? Well, then maybe you could argue if you get into the OBP and the WAR and all the other metrics. But at the money he's making, he should be top two. Or top three.
No, he should be one.
Right.
He should be one. He's being paid to be the best player in baseball, and he's not even close. So in terms of a pure baseball signing, nowhere near close to being worth that money. And you're not even factoring pitchers, like you said. You factor in ace starters? Come on. Come on. So right off the gate there. But from a business perspective, you realize over the course of this deal, the jerseys, the T-shirts, the tickets, the beers, the parking, it ends up adding up and being worth it. That's what's got to be pushed more to the forefront if you're the franchise that makes a deal like this. Hey, come on out and see that. You should have a bobblehead every night for the guy.
Right.
Because the reality of the situation is it's more marketing than anything else. That is, he is never going to deliver on the field. The Giants dodged a bullet with that. Because imagine if he was hitting here on a regular basis, right? He has, I think his career batting average at Oracle is less than 200. Terrible. And that was before last night when he went 0-for-3. So you dodged a bullet on that one. Because the expectations for this guy... I mean, the fans wouldn't turn like they would in some cities, but at some point you're going to start to get really frustrated spending all that money and getting this little in return.
And that's where it becomes interesting as it pertains, Lowe, to moving in the fences in the future. And there's been a lot of talk that they want to do that to get the bullpens into a more safe location and also move that right field fence in. Might they do that in order to be a more attractive destination to free agents who bat from the left side?
They may, but I'm going to jump real quick on Madison. Would you expect anything less from Madison? He's supposed to be, he's your leader of the team. He's supposed to be the best guy on your team. And your team has been struggling. And you're the leader. You're the guy that people thought that you were going to get traded. You've been the face of the franchise. You've been one of the most dominant pitchers, especially in postseason. You've been unbelievable. You've been unbelievable. The Giants needed someone to step up and carry their team, and Madison did that yesterday, and that's what you want to see. This team was reeling. This team, you look at what they've been able to do the last couple of games, they've been ferocious. The bats have been silent, you know, giving up a lot of runs. Madison stepped in, and he stopped the bleeding. And only playing 80, only getting 85 pitches, and yes, he could have stretched it out more, but when the game was, if it was a closer game, if it's 2-1, yeah, Madison probably would have continued to pitch. But you're in a situation that the momentum was on your side. You said this guy's already there. You got a lead, a substantial lead. Good. Okay, guys, let's go finish this thing off. So Madison needed that yesterday. He needed that. The team needed it for their confidence.
19 and a half back in the West now. 1.5 back in Arizona for
19 and a half back in the West.
Yeah, they lost four straight. And by the way, if you're the Dodgers, I don't think the Dodgers lose regular season games.
What's their magic number to clinch? Like 3? I think in August. 19 and a half back?
They have had some of the most ridiculous comebacks to win games. If it was I want to say it was 2, maybe 3 nights ago. They're hosting St. Louis. The Cardinals had them locked down 1-0 going to the bottom of the 9th. And then they scored 2 and won the game. I mean, they had just walked off the Padres like 2 nights before that. There is no killing this Dodger team. Now, again, regular season versus playoffs, you can have that discussion all you want. But from a regular season perspective, the Dodgers are just unstoppable right now. No lead is safe. Until that game is over, and even then, there's probably a chance they still come back to beat you, even if the game's ended. But the Dodgers are 19.5 up on the Giants. On the Giants, who are now in third in the division. They're a game and a half back of Arizona for second place. 5 games back a wild card one, which is Washington. 3 games back a wild card two, which is Milwaukee. And now in between you and those positions, there's also St. Louis, the Phillies, the Mets, and the Diamondbacks. So 1 week's time, quite a bit has changed. Do you happen to have the percentages, the roulette odds?
Yes,
for where we may be these
days? I did. I punched it up. Yesterday, you were gone, and the Giants were at, 1.2%.
Yikes.
With the win, surging again, 1.7% chance to make the playoffs.
Incremental
right.
is the
but
word.
But you're running out of time incrementally. If you go up 0.5 per game with 40-something games left to go, you still don't make the playoffs. So,
all right.
Tough times.
Kevin Mitchell just blowing us off. How about that?
It happens.
Well, you win an MVP award. I'd probably do it too, to be completely honest with you. You make that barehanded catch. Yeah. Probably picked up the phone barehanded and was like, this hand. Think about what this hand has done.
Yeah.
And picking up the phone to talk to these schmucks. Click.
Or maybe he got nervous, didn't want to talk to the billions.
That's also true.
Yeah.
Are you going to be nervous when you go on TV to do pre and post for the Niners on Saturday?
Oh, I'm so nervous.
What are you going to wear?
Clothes.
It's a good start.
Wow, that's hot.
Good start right there.
That's super hot.
Give me the sizzle.
You got the sizzle.
The khakis.
Is this the analysis we have to look forward to?
Absolutely.
Well, it's funny because yesterday morning he wasn't wearing clothes when he was doing his disrobe and his jiggle dance. You missed out on that yesterday. He had a whole thing about 5:52. He gave Koza quite a show.
Getting jiggly with it.
So maybe you wearing clothes actually is a hot take after all.
Do you have to get everything taken in now that you lost all the weight?
No.
Yeehaw!
Are you going to wear a girdle?
Yeah, I am. Panty girdle, Joe.
You saw,
absolutely.
Just keep it. Got to keep it tight.
One of those little full body girdles that you step in and have you looking about 20, 30 pounds slimmer.
I got this. Completely flip the script. Wear a tuxedo.
Tux? Okay.
Be the guy.
What color?
Be the guy on the sidelines. Just something subtle. You could go with the white tux with the black lining, or you can go with black tux, white lining, whatever you want to do. But if you're on the – has anyone ever done – pre and post hits from the sideline of an NFL preseason game in a tuxedo.
Good
be
question.
The first. Yeah. And then when it's like, why are you wearing a tuxedo? Yeah. Why are you not wearing a tuxedo? This is a preseason NFL game, sir.
It's a formal occasion. It's a big game.
I think it's the Cowboys.
God,
you're on TV.
If you guys would have told me, I don't think they can get me a tux tomorrow.
There's rental joints in town that would be happy
to
you up if you were able to slide in a mention on TV.
Get you into a nice, probably a 50 regular, maybe a 48 reg. You're a pretty big guy.
55 short.
That's wild. That's pretty hurtful. 55 and he hit you with a short. That's rough.
You going long?
Of course not. He's a reg.
I love to go long.
He's a regular, coach.
Go long. I'm running a 9 round. The fade. Yes, I'm going long.
Might be 52, actually, now that I think about it.
52?
Yeah, you're a pretty big guy.
52 short.
I used to work in a tuck shop back in the San Fernando Valley, so
but
I have an eye for it.
Of course.
Yeah.
This is in between pizza delivery stands.
That's exactly right. Al's Tuck Shop.
What were you doing working in a tuck shop?
Like, I was your job the warehouse manager. So he had two different
manager.
Locations, and he'd say, this is a guy from Oklahoma.
He wasn't the manager.
I was the warehouse manager. The
warehouse assistant manager, maybe.
The assistant manager was a 15-year-old young lady who had dropped out of school at a nearby, I think, Van Nuys High School because she already had a child at 15, so she wasn't going to school. She was working.
So this isn't exactly Berkshire Hathaway.
No, it was Al's Tuck Shop. And he would call me and say, he's from Oklahoma. Dan, do me a favor. I need you to get 8 shawl jackets. Head over to Woodland Hills. Call me when you get there.
You
it was always call me when you get there every time. Because this was 1992.
Right.
Pre-cell phones.
Right.
So I, of course, would take a couple of side trips. I had a couple of dealings that I need to tend to, and I'd eventually
drop
get
off,
there.
Pick up.
I'd get to Woodland Hills. Dan, how come it took you so long to get to Woodland Hills? I told you to call me when you got there. Well, Bob, I had a couple stops to make, and anyway, rest in peace, Bob.
Bobby passed.
Yeah, he did. Bobby passed.
Recently or?
No, it was about 10 years ago.
All right.
10 years ago now.
Rest in peace, Bob, the tuxedo guy who was Dibs' boss.
From Stillwater, Oklahoma.
What are you, if I'm circling players to watch in tomorrow's preseason game, who should I be watching? We got a lot of listeners in the billions who are fans, but they might not follow this as closely as we do on a regular basis, and with all the injuries and with the general chaos that takes place throughout a preseason game, especially preseason game one or four, you're going to have a lot of names cycling through. I came up with four. Some you're familiar with, some you are not, that you should be highlighting tomorrow. I'm going to start with number 57, rookie linebacker Dre Greenlaw, fifth-round pick out of Arkansas. We keep hearing his name, and in a good way. You'll hear this from scouts. They'll watch a tape looking for a certain prospect, and they'll end up discovering someone else by accident because he, quote, flashes, or he pops off the screen, flashes off the screen. And then before you know it, you stop studying the guy you originally intended to study. You start studying this guy. Well, that's what Greenlaw is through the first couple weeks of training camp. Every write-up, every sort of analysis or recap of what's going on with the Niners each day starts with the big names, the injuries, Garoppolo, all the stuff that's taking place. And then as you work your way a little bit further down, Dre Greenlaw, get used to it, number 57 at Arkansas. There's a chance tomorrow, with Malcolm Smith not playing, that Greenlaw could start. It's going to come down to him or Elijah Lee to play next to Fred Warner. Warner's going to be out there. It's either Lee or Greenlaw. Whenever he gets out there, watch number 57. Let's see if the hype carries over onto the field during the games. It's still preseason, but I have heard this kid's name so much. I've tried to watch as much Arkansas footage that I can come across just to get an idea of what he was like playing in the SEC. That's the one I'm most excited about tomorrow. There are several. Number 57, Dre Greenlaw.
I was watching some highlights this morning of old 57 Dre Greenlaw, including one play where Juszczyk catches the ball low toward the sideline, and right as he's about to turn his shoulders to square it up to the line of scrimmage, Greenlaw blurs in from the side and just gives him like a little shoulder pap and paps him, and Juszczyk, the fullback, is flying, and he flies out of bounds, and he doesn't land hard on the turf, but he lands with a significant thud. And then you see kind of what Joe's talking about, the speed of Dre Greenlaw. And you've got Fred Warner, who we know can fly. And you've been really high on Quan Alexander and his ability. It's going to be fun to watch this linebacking core when they're able to play at full speed. And like you've taught me throughout the course of this offseason, a good defensive line soaks up the blockers and allows the linebackers to run free.
Yeah.
And if you're running fast and free, like Greenlaw and Warner and obviously Quan Alexander, now all of a sudden, the secondary doesn't have to be as important, especially in the run game.
Also, you make this roster and you start making plays, there is a White Claw endorsement waiting for you.
Dre White Claw.
I'm just throwing that out there. Dre White Claw Greenlaw. Or White Claw with a special new flavor, Greenlaw. You're welcome.
That's the line.
You're welcome. This is what we do here when you listen to this program. We throw out multi-million, if not billion-dollar ideas, and we let you all run with them. We're like the guy who came up with the vaccine that stopped what? Was it polio? Where he just let it go for the masses? He didn't copyright it, didn't trademark it.
Is that Jonas Salk?
Could be. I don't know my...
I've been burned before. You can't funeralize my Jonas Salk like you funeralize my whatever cockamamie philosophy I threw out the other day.
It's like Explorers, Ponce de Leon. Fountain of Youth, but outside of that, you start to get into Magellan and some of these other guys. I can't remember. I'm too far removed from all that. Same with the guys who cured things. But it's just like what Elon Musk is doing. I believe it's SpaceX. You know he's not putting trademarks on anything? He wants all that information out there. Take it and improve upon it. It's not about him going out and necessarily making money. It's about progressing as a society, right? That's what they're trying to do. So no trademarks, no copyrights.
Wow.
It's all available so that you can use it. That's what we do on this show. We throw out great ideas, and you can run with them. So Dre Greenlaw, get your agent on the phone with White Claw, make a couple plays.
White Claw.
Boom.
You own this White Claw.
It's delicious. I had it last night and two nights ago.
I just had it for our son's birthday party. We had a bunch of them out there. It was great.
Who gets drunk at a kid's birthday party?
Okay, drunk. Don't
disparage White Claw like that.
It was fun.
Happy birthday, little what's his name? Happy birthday to you.
We had the lime, the black cherry, and the raspberry.
Jeez.
It's delicious.
Touch them all, kiddo.
Is that the first time you had it?
Yeah.
It's outstanding, isn't it?
Yeah. She drank for
She's
the cycle.
I did.
It's without question. She's probably still hungover. Oh, that White Claw. Nice guy. You're a millennial.
Yeah,
you're probably drinking White Claw back there right now.
Don't forget the ruby grapefruit. I believe that's also in the variety pack. Try mango, though. They don't put that in the variety pack. Mango's fire.
Mango's how I started. Mango's how I got introduced. I prefer the black cherry, but they're all delicious. Mm-hmm. Equally refreshing. How about that? I got another great idea for you. You're doing the pre and post. As you are answering your first question, you do what Kobe Bryant famously did after winning. I think it may have been one of his early titles. Could have been the first one.
Yeah.
They interviewed him in the locker room after the game, and as soon as they went to him,
yeah,
he brought up a Sprite can, and in between each answer, he was drinking Sprite on camera right after the NBA Finals in the locker room. And he had the label turned perfectly. And if you look at a soda can, the label doesn't line up perfectly with how you drink out of the can. You have to twist the can. So you're drinking it in a way that isn't necessarily conducive to the proper flow of the soda into your mouth. But he did it because he had the Sprite endorsement.
Get
it was
paid.
A genius play.
That is
you're out
one.
There drinking White Claws during your pre- and post-game yeah. hits. Look at you.
You know what? I think that's the ticket. Hey, everybody.
No, that's the thing. You can drink the stuff on the treadmill. Okay. It's not okay. It's not like it's whiskey. You can drink 50 of them. Don't actually drink 50 of them. And also, don't drink and drive, obviously. It goes without saying. This show is nothing if not diligent when it comes to the law and order of
White
the world.
Claw. That's I have heard a lot of people talking about your White Claw, Joe.
A sneaky, though, like a strong safety blitz. Yeah, when he sneaks up to the line of scrimmage and the quarterback never looks and everyone at home is watching and you see what's about to happen, that's White Claw.
Yeah.
It's like that backside safety blitz.
Ooh.
Balls out!
Those ones that hurt when you don't see them coming. You're like, those hits that you don't see.
So now you can see why Dre Greenlaw is my number one guy to watch tomorrow. I got a great endorsement idea for him, and he's apparently been having a hell of a camp.
Yeah.
That's one I'm throwing out there. Another one, this is an obvious one, number 94. You know him, you love him, Solomon Thomas. Opportunity is never lost.
It's just given to someone else.
That's right, Lo.
Yeah.
That's right. It's just given to someone else. And you know what? With all the injuries along the defensive line, he's been working hard. This is supposed to be the year he pops. Throw it out there right now. Throw it out there right now. Solomon Thomas, time to start making some noise. The team could use you.
Absolutely. And I think that he will. The last year he was, it's a very, very tough time for him. You know, John and all those guys reached out to him and made sure that he was all right because of the fact that, his loss of his sister. So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to watching Solomon play. They've been saying some great things about him. Great shape. He's moving great at camp. So now can he make it happen on the field? Also want to see what, see what he's going to be able to do. Selleck, see how he's going to play. Ross, see how the backup tight ends are going to play as well. Because when you think about what they're going to do, because Kittle probably is going to get very, very limited time, you need to make sure you have a number two guy. If Kittle, like Dibbs has been alluding to, he's going to be doubled a lot. He's going to get tripled a lot. There's going to be a lot of times going to try to take Kittle away. So if you do have to go 12 personnel with two tight ends, is young Ross, is he going to do anything? Who's going to be those other guys that's going to step up to be able to make plays?
Keep your eyes on number 83, too, the kid out of Stanford, Levine Toilolo, who has some pro experience, and he might be the guy. Garrett Selleck, if he goes, primarily more your blocking tight end. But for me, it's interesting if you end up keeping three tight ends, if it might not be Toilolo who's able to emerge and be that swing guy who can block and catch the ball a little bit.
Yeah.
Breaking news, I just got an email. We have three pairs of tickets to give away to see Wiz Khalifa with French Montana. Not to be confused with French Dip or Joe Montana. French Montana, best of both worlds. This Sunday, August 11th, Concord Pavilion, 8:45 today. Three pairs of tickets to see Wiz Khalifa and French Dip Montana. French Dip Joe Montana.
Quite
so
a sandwich.
Many people listen to this, like, what an idiot. This guy just shut up and read.
Which is better, the French Dip sandwich or Joe Montana as a quarterback?
French Dip. Who's the Steve Young to the French Dip?
Man, maybe the Reuben or the hoagie? The tuna melt.
Tuna melt.
If there's your question of the day, if Joe Montana was French Dip, what's Steve Young? 888-957-9570. No one else on the planet comes up with content like that on the spot.
That's gold.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You're going to see that recycled throughout now. Now it'll be on ESPN later today, First Take. I got to tell you what. If LeBron James is a French Dip, well, then Kevin Durant. It's like, here we go. We all know where you got that from.
So let me get this straight.
Yeah. And you can use that, Stephen A. It's all out there for everyone. We appreciate it. We appreciate your work.
Once that happens, I'm like, wow. I think I'm done, Joe.
If they start talking sandwiches.
If he's a
French Dip. This is actually done. He's up. You all right? You're actually hurt. All right.
Yeah,
sorry.
I think stomach. Yeah. Yep. He's going to get through it.
All right. Well, let's bring it back in.
Yep.
Whew. A lot just happened there in the last couple minutes.
Yeah.
But again, think about it. And hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. If Joe Montana was a French Dip, this is like one of those LSAC questions. If Joe Montana is a French Dip, what sandwich would Steve Young be?
Maybe I'll do a French Dip sandwich. Joe, pull it out and say, man, if Jimmy G could be like Joe Montana, because he was a French Dip.
There you go.
Yeah, you got it.
That's how you bring the segment all the way around. Genius, my friend. Look out, Howard Stern. All right. The genius of this radio program is brought to you by, of course, Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. We've got a lot to get into. The Bosa injuries, the full breakdown on what to expect from preseason game number one, and how this team is going to approach week one of the NFL season against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the injury crisis that has hit Santa Clara. But first, here's Anna with what's coming up on the game.
I got to say, that tuna melt, that's disrespecting Steve Young right there. All right, what's coming up on the game is brought to you by Sonic Internet. The 49ers host the Cowboys tomorrow in their first preseason game. Is this matchup still a rivalry? Joe Lone Dibs will go down memory lane and ask former Cowboy George Teague at 8:30. He knocked T.O. off the star in Dallas. Then we'll ask another Cowboy, Danny White, at 9:30. He was a quarterback during the catch game that forever changed the red and gold. Quite a few Niners, though, will be missing from tomorrow's game due to injuries. The guys will get the latest from NFL insider John Clayton at 9:05, plus discuss Nick Bosa and the expectations for this team. And you don't want to miss NFL Network's Brian Baldinger. He'll be in studio today all day with Vontae, Steiny, and Guru for the entire show from 10 to 2. Raiders host the Rams tomorrow in their first preseason game. On to baseball, Giants stop the bleeding, specifically Madison Bumgarner, who was spectacular, tossing 7 innings of 1-run ball in a 5-0 win over the Phillies. Also, we've got Warriors play-by-play Tim Roy. He has some announcement to share today. That's at 9:45. For now, I'm Anna Kugadike. He's on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, happy Friday and welcome to the Money Spot. One consecutive hour of commercial-free art for you, our preseason-ready listening audience, because we love you and because we've got the full rundown with everything you need to know coming your way right now. Wiz Khalifa tickets at 8:45. That will come after a conversation with George Teague. If you remember George Teague, Dallas Cowboy defensive back who lit up T.O. when T.O. ran out and celebrated on the star. We're going to talk to George Teague about that. Then we're going to take that audio and we're going to play it for T.O. next Tuesday, 8:30. Because T.O. is joining us at Tuesday, 8:30, every Tuesday at 8:30 through the Super Bowl.
That's going to be great.
It's going to be a troll job, a classic troll job.
I'll let you two handle that. That's going to be awesome.
Wait,
no, it's team effort.
There's no I in team. And there's no I in troll either. You're a part of this.
But
you're in on it.
There is an LO in troll. There's a low in troll.
Yeah. So it's going to be awesome. I can't wait to hear it. It's going to go over really well.
That's a quick 180 right there.
Yeah. I'm going to let you guys set it up and watch you guys go down that road. It's going
to
be funny.
I'm going to talk to George Teague about the pick six he had in the, I want to say the SEC championship game, Alabama against Florida, because I was a big Gators fan and he broke my heart that year. But that wasn't even under, obviously, like Nick Saban. That was back under Gene. Why can't I remember the name?
Gene Stallings.
Good pull, Dibs. Thank you so
much. Thank you.
Gene Stallings, head coach, Alabama Crimson Tide.
And now Jonas Salk, by the way, was correct in the last segment as we continue to highlight our own accuracies and inaccuracies. You were talking about the polio.
Vaccine for polio was Jonas Salk.
Yeah.
And Jonas Salk, if I'm not mistaken, was the one who released that to the world. He wanted to just help the world. Didn't want to put a copyright on it or anything like that, a trademark, so that he could make a ton of money off it. Just wanted to help the world. That's what we do as a show. We're giving out free content. Dre Greenlaw, go get that White Claw endorsement, son. Go get it. Just send us some black cherries as a thank you. All right. So what happens? I missed yesterday because I got a doctor's appointment, and it turns out everybody gets hurt.
Everybody
gets hurt. Who's not hurt? That's the list I'll go through. McGlinchey, and that's it. Seems like everybody else is banged up right now. I'm looking at this list I had to compile for the show today. You got to be kidding me here. The Bosa thing happens after we go off the air. High ankle sprain. Hoping he's ready for week one, but not sure. Jason Verrett, he's out for the preseason. Jerick McKinnon could be headed to IR, which means he wouldn't be able to play until week 8. Quan Williams out for the preseason. Eric Armstead, Ronald Blair. This list goes on and on.
It does.
Weston Richburg was already on the list. Malcolm Smith's not going to play tomorrow, and you know he's always getting hurt. Good grief. What am I supposed to make of this? What did you guys do while I was gone?
Burned it down, Coach.
Yeah, they're dropping
Seems like it.
They're dropping like flies. A lot of this, Dibs, we talked about it kind of yesterday, just guys aren't used to contact. Guys, you know, they work out in the offseason, they get faster, stronger, all those different things, but then you put on pads, and then you're hitting, different guys are getting hit at high speeds, And your body just your body has to get calloused. Your joints, all those things got to get used to it. And that's why you see so many guys in training camp the first couple weeks of preseason. Hell, you see quarterbacks. You're a quarterback. Philadelphia backup quarterback breaks his wrist, and there's a lot of injuries. You see with injuries that so many teams had last night. When
Curse got carted off, that was ugly.
Knee and with leg, you see what's going on when it's full speed and it's contact, and guys are got bad intentions. Guys are getting hurt in preseason. It just happens because guys now are taking it to that next level. That's why I think that when you go to training camp, at times guys need that more contact, and then all of a sudden you crank it up. Then guys are tired. They go back out there, try to go another practice.
Too fast. You got to warm the engines up.
Got to warm it up. And that's why you're going to continue to see injuries. And this is just something that the Niners are going to have to fight through, because I think there's a lot of teams that are injured right now. There's a lot of guys that are injured, but it's difference between injured and being hurt. And I think a lot of these guys are injured and they're not just hurt. I think the one that's hurt, you look at it, is Joey Bosa, because he's actually going to be missing.
That's a dollar.
Nicky Bosa, because Nick is he's actually hurt.
Yeah, the ching sound. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. It's been a while since we filled that thing up.
Yeah, that was a good one. I did say it. But, yeah, so I think that the rest of the guys, though, is going to be okay. But this is a lot of injuries for this team.
Quote from Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, "You absolutely don't need 4 preseason games. I'd rather have 0 than 4. Preferably, I'd like 2. One to evaluate the people trying to make the team, and then just 1 to knock a little rust off." Your thoughts?
Well, if you go to 2, then you got to get to 18, because the owners aren't going to give up revenue, and these preseason games do generate some revenue. And I know you have to pay the players, and you're paying 90 guys instead of, 46 up on game day, but it's a moneymaker, and there's a reason why you have these preseason games. So if you want to get down to 2, and I think he's right, 2 would be perfect. You could play the starters in 1, and you could play the guys fighting for a job in the other. It'd be perfect, but the owners would want 18 games.
It's like Captain Buzzkill with preseason injuries. You know what I mean? You have all this build-up to football season, and it's such a great way to build up because you have the beautiful summer months. So kids are out of school. You're on your vacations. You have these final few months that you're really enjoying. The weather's nice, and then before you know it, it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. Football's right around the corner. Here we go. You start getting hyped. And then you end up getting one of these injuries. It's such a buzzkill. It's like that idiot. You're out at the bar watching games on a Sunday, and right as you're like getting into the second quarter of the afternoon games, this guy, man, I really don't want to go to work tomorrow. Man, I don't want to be thinking about that.
Right,
Shut up. I still got the Sunday night game where I got to try to make all my money back. So I got a whole wave of games to get through. Then Sunday night, that's when I'll start worrying about work and the bookies and dodging them for a few days and all that other stuff. But that's what this is. It's Captain Buzzkill. I don't know what you can do to solve this. College football doesn't have a preseason. They've got their inter-squad scrimmages, and then they roll right out there in week 1. Would that be an improvement? Take the revenue equation out of it. Obviously, the business and the financial components matter. But if you could just do what's best for the players and the product, would it be to shorten the preseason, eliminate the preseason? Which direction would you go? What did the guys you play with think?
I honestly, if I'm looking at this right now and you're talking about injuries, if you're going to get rid of preseason, if that's what you want to do, then friggin' have a lot more joint practices, make preseason, and make training camp start 2 weeks early or 2 or 3 weeks earlier. Let guys get hardened up. Let guys get used to it. If you want to get rid of preseason, let guys come into camp earlier. Let it be more thumping in camp, because Joe, if you get rid of preseason, there's going to still be the same amount of injuries. Guys still going to get hurt because that's just how it is. Guys aren't used to the tempo, the speed, and all those different things. And guys are going when in practice. If you see a guy and he breaks loose, you're not going to horse collar him. You just because it's your guy. But in a game, you see a guy break loose and you can't catch him and you got one gasp, what are you going to do? I don't care. You're going to horse call him. That's just what you're doing to stop a touchdown. It ain't like you're trying to play dirty. But in practice, you ain't going to do that because you know that's your teammate. You're like, oh, dude's got too much speed. In a game, you're going to crack. You're going to jump. You're going to pull, grab on a shoulder. Guys are in awkward positions. So you're going to continue to have injuries. It's nothing people can do to stop people from getting injuries.
But at least if you got hurt in a real game, it would feel like you were doing what you were supposed to do. To get hurt in a preseason game, I can't imagine how frustrating that would be, especially a guy like yourself who's a veteran, who's got gravitas, and you know you're only out there for 2 series, and then to have, let's say the Nick Bosa injury happened in a preseason game where a 300-pound lineman falls into his leg and he's out for the year. Something terrible happens in a preseason game, you'd be a lot more frustrated than if that happened in week one.
Yeah, you know what? But the thing about it, if it's week one, you get injured and you only play one play, what do you do? You're still injured, whether it's preseason, you're still, you know. I just think that it's really hard to stop guys from getting injuries, and I do understand what you're saying. And if you get rid of preseason altogether, we all talked about how the product doesn't look as good. It's not as crisp. It's not as sharp because of the fact it's preseason.
Point.
So now you're going to take it away completely. Now what are you going to get in week one? You're going to get a bunch of guys, don't look good. It's NFL. You want it to be high level, so you got to extend something. If you're going to get rid of preseason game, you got to do more mixed practices. You got to do more one-on-ones with other teams, do more individual things, and have guys. You never see a guy out there and you put them in a thing where you're pulling them sideways and letting guys bend, get them in awkward positions. You need to make sure you start working the body in all different kind of angles. But the thing about it, it takes too much time to do those things to get the body used to certain things. It's just no way around it. There's no way around it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
It's part
of the game.
You
try to take something that's inherently dangerous and make it safe. It's impossible.
It is.
It's a great paradox that people are trying to solve, and it always comes back to financial ramifications anyway. Which of these is the most alarming right now? Like, according to Bosa, or at least I should say, two clips of audio for you. Here's Shanahan updating the media yesterday on Bosa's status.
Basically, it's a minor high ankle sprain, but there's no such thing as a minor high ankle sprain because we know those are a much bigger deal than low ones. So, but we're hoping for week one.
And then John Bosa, his father, joined this very radio program yesterday, if I'm not mistaken. Great interview from what I was told.
Yeah.
I was too busy running on the treadmill for the cardiologist, so I didn't catch it. I had to listen to all her crazy instructions. But here's what he had to say about his son and week one.
It is part of football. He goes 100 miles an hour every snap, and unfortunately he got rolled into. So the MRI came out as best you can hope for. So I'm not sure of the timetable, but I don't think I certainly don't think the opener is in jeopardy.
All right, great news. Father doesn't think the opener is in jeopardy, but he is out for the rest of the preseason. So let me run this by you. Week one at Tampa. That's all we're worried about right now. If Bosa continues to play through the preseason, never suffers the injury, appears in the preseason games that they want him to appear in, has a good camp, is healthy, how much is he going to be used in the Tampa game? Versus how much they're going to use him in the Tampa game now, should he be willing to go? Is there going to be a difference?
Oh, no question. There'll be
Is what I was worried about.
Huge difference, Joe. It is what it is. We just talked about preseason, guys wanting to shorten it, coaches saying maybe she won or two games. We're just talking about that now, and now you're saying, okay, here's a guy that's injured, and now you're going to put him in when it's regular season, when they're even going that much more faster. So you're going to say, is that going to change the way you play Bosa? No question. You got to look at that now, that if this is going to be his first action, he's going, and if he's not practicing and he's not out there doing contact the week prior to Tampa Bay, he doesn't play at all. Now, if he's out there a week prior to that, you got to get him, you know, up to speed. If he's running full speed, out there going through walkthroughs, out there going through practice, then you play him Tampa Bay. But if not, then you don't even play him at all. If they're saying it's a game time decision and he has no practice experience out there on practice, that would be foolish for them to throw him out there week one.
Then I would say right now that he's not going to play, because if you think about the timetable for a high ankle sprain, right, 4 to 6 weeks or how severe it is, we don't necessarily know.
I talked to a doctor back in the day who worked at, this wasn't even Chow, this was someone else, who said 10 weeks. Not that you're out 10 weeks, but you need 10 weeks to get that thing back to feeling good. 10 weeks.
I saw something yesterday that said up to 3 months, so that speaks to the same timetable. But let's just work on the auspices of 4 to 6 weeks.
Sure.
If it is 4 weeks, we know that that leads you right up almost to game day, and that probably wouldn't give you much time for him to go through practices ahead of the Tampa Bay game. How hard is it during the season, during the week, to get the kind of reps and the kind of practice you need if you're a rookie coming off an injury like this?
It's tough, Dibs. And the biggest thing is, how much pain tolerance can he handle? What is his pain threshold? That's going to be the biggest thing for Nicky Bosa and this organization, to see how much can he handle. Right now, the guy's got to be, you know, he's icing probably around the clock. He's probably getting different things done, massage. And you start, you get give him the massage, and just, you're screaming because they're freaking massaging, and you're just in so much pain.
Hey, Nick, what's your prediction for week one? Pain. machine.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you, Clubber.
Good Rocky 3 drop.
Oh, yeah. That was
man,
good
that guy
right
was
there.
Terrifying. That guy was way scarier than Drago, by the way. I know that's a hot take for a lot of people can't handle it. Clubber Lang was way scarier than the Russian.
I must break you.
Yeah.
Thanks, Drago.
It's like, you're tall, but once I see the PED use, I realize it's not legit. Like, Clubber Lang, no thank you. How about that? No thank you.
The Russian was tough, too. If he dies, he dies.
He's just heartless.
Yeah.
That was his thing.
But the misses was the tougher part of that tandem, no doubt. Brigitte coming hard with the glare and the two-piece. You'd rather fight Dolph than Brigitte.
She was disgusted with his performance.
Not happy at all,
against
Coach.
Balboa on Christmas in Moscow. Like, you can't have a better home field advantage anywhere. The spot, the travel, the crowd, the holiday. You had everything in your
everything. Favorite.
The spot.
You also noticed no one in Russia celebrating Christmas back then. That's how the Soviet Union did it. When they flash back to Rocky's kids enjoying the fight, they're celebrating Christmas. The Russians, not a very Christmas-oriented people. In hindsight, we should have remembered that and realized what was to come 20, 30 years later.
Yeah.
You don't celebrate Christmas. I mean, you don't even have to make it religious. Have some eggnog, you know? Take a couple days off.
Mix in a tree and a present,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe sing a carol, a singular carol, you know? Get jolly for a day.
Lo, what the hell were you talking about?
Where were we?
I don't know.
Oh, we were talking about Clubber Lang, and we were talking about...
pain for Bosa and his threshold.
Thank you, Joseph. His prediction? Pain.
Pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, that's where we're
good
at.
To be back.
Yeah,
it's good to be back.
Look at us doing radio.
Exactly. Now, I think that you look at it like that. You're talking about anywhere from 4 to 8 weeks. If that's the case, then he probably won't play, and maybe he won't even play week two. But in my opinion, I don't think you need Nicky Bosa to win those two games. I still believe that this team is good enough. They have enough talent to win against both those two teams. You look at the Natty the following week. You got Tampa the first week. If you need a rookie to win that game for you, then this team can't get where we think they can go this year.
Great point. I will tell you this, though. For as much negativity that surrounds this story, table's set for one of the all-time redemption stories. Table is now officially set for one of the all-time redemption stories. It starts with Solomon Thomas, and then it works its way to Arik Armstead. Two guys... highly touted draft picks who have not met expectations for this team. I understand that playing end may be out of position for Solomon Thomas. I understand that as these guys move around, it might not be the optimal situation for them. Too bad. That's it. Those conversations, those excuses are over. Son, you are not a rookie. You aren't even a second-year guy anymore. You guys are established NFL veterans. This is the opportunity for you to rise up. You just lost your premier pass rusher. For the rest of the preseason, he may not go in week one. D Ford, we're hoping he goes, but he's going through the PRP injections and all that. He should be ready to go. He's been through this before. He understands what it's going to take to get ready for game day. But we know what we have in Buckner. We know what we're going to get in Ford. Bosa is a major question mark. Thomas and Armstead. The organization didn't bail on you. The organization is going to continue giving you opportunities. You got a nice matchup in Tampa. It's week one. Your team needs you. The opponent's favorable, and you're going to be playing alongside some really good pass rushers that are going to minimize the impact the offensive line can take their time dedicating to you, okay? The table's set. For a guy like Solomon Thomas, if you are looking for a redemption story, here is your opportunity. Here is your chance to step into a vacated role where the team is going to need help and production in a big way, and this is your opportunity to thrive. This is your opportunity to get everyone to forget about those first 2 years that took place. No matter what the reasons, no matter what the problems were, if you're past it, the fan base, the coaching staff, the media, everyone is able to move past it as well. But you got to go out there and make plays. We talked about it earlier. Opportunities never lost.
It's just giving to somebody else.
Well, if Bosa loses the opportunity to contribute in the preseason and make plays in week one, this is your opportunity to step up, to erase everything that's been said about you and everything that's happened the first two seasons. It could be a ship passing in the night. People will forget about that forever if you rise up and make some plays. But here it is. I couldn't ask for a better situation for these guys. If it comes at someone else's expense due to an injury, it's unfortunate. But here you go. Here's an opportunity to get more snaps and make some plays. This is a game you've got to win in week one. You don't want to overblow it, but if you're going to be a playoff contender, you got to win games on the road, and you got to be able to beat especially the inferior opponents on the road. This is a big opportunity for these two.
It's 3-13 on the road the last 2 years, and I think it's really play or get off the pot, so to speak, for both of these guys. It's a career year for Armstead and Solomon Thomas, because if you don't make an impact, especially now with Nicky Bosa maybe missing week one and you got D Ford with the PRP, you know there's opportunity. And for these players, for Armstead, you're right. They gave him a vote of confidence. They kept him for his fifth-year option. Now he has to go out and play. And Solomon Thomas, it is a results-based business. And even though last year was tragic, the year before was underwhelming, now you have to deliver in your third year. It's now or never.
Yeah.
Did anyone see that that Arizona preseason game last night? Anyone do any scouting on Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray?
Much, a little bit. They were moving the ball.
Kyler Murray looked pretty good.
He looked good, getting outside the pocket, throwing the ball. He was throwing some dimes.
He finished that game 6 of 7 for 44 yards, fast breaking out of the pocket. Yeah. He's got some zip on it. Obviously, it's a preseason game. You're not going to overdo it on one possession, but they beat the Chargers 17-13, and he didn't look like the Lions were too big for him. No. It's like if he doesn't have a throwing lane, he's just going to use that speed to find himself a throwing lane, and then he's going to make a play. Oh, you don't think you're going to need pass rushers who can contain against that guy moving forward? Which, by the way, I was thinking about this morning. I was thinking about it last night as I'm watching this game. You have the Cardinals in week 9 and week 11. Is that kind of a bad break? Would you rather have them early as he's trying to learn that offense, or would you rather have that later so you could learn Kingsbury's system and how Murray plays and have that tape available?
Probably both. I think you'd like to have him early and then have him late. Ideally, you would catch him maybe in week.
Interesting. Well, I didn't even think that was an option, but you're making it sound pretty good.
Well, instead of the back-to-back, you know, you catch him early before Kingsbury and Kyler Murray get their sea legs. Maybe they're vulnerable then, and then you get a nice long run-up to see exactly what they have to offer. You'd rather have Arizona last in the schedule as opposed to L.A. and Seattle, which I think are your last two games back-to-back.
What would you with a young quarterback like this, athletic, rookie, and a rookie head coach, you get him early. The upside is that they got a lot of growing pains they got to work through. But you haven't seen anything on them. You don't have a whole lot of tape. Kingsbury even said going into last night's game, they're not trying to show a whole lot. They want it to be very vanilla. They want to have some surprises to unveil early in the season. On the flip side, you get him later in the year. Look at what happened with Baker Mayfield in Cleveland. They got better and stronger and faster and more efficient throughout the course of the season. But you do have the tape to study and to try to find perceived weaknesses. What would be the better situation?
Yeah, I'd like it later myself personally. Just sort of the fact now that I know that I can rush guys and stay in the lane and then jump up and knock down passes. Don't let him outside the pocket. Last night you saw teams that, you know, you saw him get to the outside and then cornerbacks would come off their work and they'd take their eyes off their particular receivers, and then he's able to throw the ball to him. So I think that it's better later because now you're going to have this guy in the pocket and you keep him trapped back there. You don't let him escape the pocket. You're going to tell guys to rush in the lanes and then, you know, get their hands up. Don't let him get outside the pocket, because once he's outside of the pocket, that's when he becomes more dangerous. So I think later in the season, guys will know where he's going to do. They'll know the tendencies. They'll know where you want to put the pressure, where you want to pressure him from. How do you get him off his spot? What is the tendency? Who's his favorite receiver? Give me a shorter guy in stature. Give it to me later, and I think that the Niners will already be able to solve the Rubik's Cube and be able to solve the mystery of Kyler Murray. So speaking I like
of,
him later.
Speaking of scouting reports, Seattle played last night as well. Beat Denver, which is an interesting scenario because Denver already had that Hall of Fame game. So you figure they'd work some rust off. No Russell Wilson for the Seahawks. They go out there and beat the Broncos 22-14, but it's the manner in which they did it. They did it with Paxton Lynch, Denver's former first-round pick. Lynch went 11 of 15 for 109 yards, one touchdown, no picks, 4 carries, 38 yards, and a touchdown. I don't know if he's going to make an impact, but he did have plenty of comments for the Broncos afterwards, talking about, well, it's so much more of a family here in Seattle than it is in Denver. Well, I don't think you gave Denver a whole lot to really embrace you, considering what they paid. But DK Metcalf was the key in this game. 1 catch, 8 yards, 0 touchdowns on 4 targets. That's going to be the big ticket receiver the Seahawks hope they got in the draft moving forward. And that's going to be the weapon, obviously, that the Niners are going to have to worry about later in the year.
Yeah, and Richard Sherman being a taller corner, I think, matches up really well with DK Metcalf if that eventually turns out to be the matchup that you have when San Francisco takes on Seattle. And it's interesting to see, you mentioned it, Denver in their second preseason game not look as good. And you can't help but look at John Elway and think that at some point they're going to have to make a decision there on bringing in somebody with a little bit more football front office gravitas, because they have not gotten it right there since he's taken over.
Did you see the Browns yesterday?
Browns look good.
They look ready. They absolutely look ready for the regular season. Mayfield was incredible in that game last night. They played him. Where the heck are these numbers? He's 5-6, 77 yards, a touchdown, no picks. He's throwing dimes all over the field. Kid looked razor sharp. Story of this game, and I told you I was going to get to this at one point. Story of this game takes place in the fourth quarter. There's this kid on the Brown roster. He's a wide receiver kick returner, Damon Sheehy Giuseppe. All right? I believe I'm getting that right, but if I'm not, you never heard of him to begin with. He went to, like, this school, University of Phoenix. Not the online school, but he went to some JUCO. And he hasn't played football in 2 years, right? Hasn't played football in 2 years, but he wants to play. He's been going to these tryouts for, like, the other leagues. What, not the USFL, but what the hell else is out there? X-League and...
There's right. the XFL coming out.
All that stuff. He's been trying out, but he can't get a job. And he said he wants to play in the NFL so bad, he took his credit card and pretty much maxed it out, trying to get into different camps and workouts around the country. And he got tipped off, as the story goes, to a workout that was going to take place in Florida. It was a Browns workout. They were just having an open workout for guys to show up. And someone told him, if you get there, look up Alonzo Highsmith. He's the Cleveland Browns, like, player personnel guy. So he does a Google search and he finds out what Highsmith looks like. He goes to Florida to the workout and he shows up. And, like, the security guard asks him, oh, do you know Alonzo Highsmith? And he goes, yeah, I know Alonzo Highsmith. That's why I'm here. So they let him in. He's not supposed to be allowed in. He has not been invited.
Wow.
He shows up. They let him in. He's panicking because he's wondering whether or not anyone's going to figure out what he's doing there.
Right.
So he immediately goes up to Highsmith, and he shakes his hand, and he gets to know him, and he starts talking to him. So that if someone comes up to Highsmith later and asks him if he knows the guy,
right.
he can say, yeah, I know the guy. So then he gets to be a part of this workout. So now he snuck in. He gets to be a part of the workout. He runs a 4.38 40. So now Highsmith's like, man, this kid can fly. They see him fielding kicks and punts, and they're like, all right. They give him an invite to camp. So now he's going to show up to Browns camp. Here's the problem, though.
Yeah.
Camp's not opening for a week. He doesn't have any money. He doesn't have any money whatsoever. So he has to get himself to Cleveland, and he spends the week sleeping at 24/7 Fitness. He spends the week sleeping outside the facility, sleeping anywhere. He wasn't eating. He was just working out, trying to get ready for this opportunity.
Wow.
He gets into camp. He obviously looks good enough that they give him an opportunity late in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes to go in this preseason game. 86 yards to the house on a punt return.
Incredible.
That's
86
awesome.
Yards to the house for this kid. And if you watch what happened, the entire Brown sideline sprinted to the end zone and dogpiled him. He didn't even have cleats. I think it was OBJ. Gave him his cleats. Because OBJ wasn't playing. He goes up to him. He goes, here you go. I broke these in for you. He didn't even have cleats to wear for the game. So he's wearing OBJ's cleats. He goes 86 yards to the house.
Now that's...
The entire stadium, all the players on the sideline, sprinted to the end zone and dogpiled. Baker Mayfield, all of them.
Now, the only thing that killed me on that story that I find weird is he didn't have cleats. Because when you get to camp, you know, there's thousands of shoes there that you get to go, you know, get suited up. So this guy.
That's the part you found weird. Not the sleeping outside or the espionage to sneak in.
But I think that a guy without cleats, Joe, for a football game and you're playing in a preseason game, that is very bizarre. So yeah, but no, that story is absolutely amazing. Unbelievable story.
Phoenix College, by the way, not
Unreal.
The University of Phoenix or another university in Phoenix, but Phoenix College. He was an NJCAA, not an NCAA, but an NJCAA All-American.
What an amazing
in 2016.
Story.
It really is remarkable. You can't help but root for the kid to make the team.
He hasn't played football in 2 years. He's played no actual football in 2 years. He just did whatever he could to try to find his way into a camp, sneaks in, runs sub 4.4, gets an invite, sleeps at a 24/7 Fitness and outside just to get into the camp, and then breaks one for 86 yards. And it was a good-looking run back, too.
It was really good. I mean, watching that guy run, Duke, and put him up and put him down, that is friggin' amazing story. You got to be pulling for that guy.
Leads me into the next point. If you're the Washington Redskins and some homeless bum is running kickbacks against you in preseason games, you ain't winning any football games this year.
Yeah.
They got a homeless guy ran a kickback on the Redskins in a preseason game. That's the real takeaway here. Everyone loves the silver lining playbook story here about, it's such a... adversity and rising above. The Redskins just got beat by a homeless guy.
Wow.
And he bobbled it too on the catch. You see him kind of juggle it, and then the waves, the seas just parted, and he's down the right sideline for the touchdown.
And you wonder why I make jokes. A homeless guy ran a kickback against the Redskins. I'm telling you what right now, whatever that team's over under is, go under. They might be the worst team in football this year. They are already A, injured, B, dysfunctional, and C, garbage. They've checked all three of the boxes you want to avoid, and we didn't even get through the first preseason game yet. Trent Williams, their best player, their star left tackle, he's not reporting. And everyone's like, we'll get it figured out. It's a contract. It's not a contract thing. He hates them. He hates the team. He's not going to play for them. He has made it clear he's not showing up. It's not because he wants a couple extra bucks or he wants his deal reworked. He's done with them. It's over. He does not want to play
there. He just said, I'm done. I'm out.
So he's gone. Alex Smith is walking around like a dog with one of these.
With the lampshade on.
Yeah. He's never going to play again. You already, Colt McCoy couldn't go last night because he's banged up. I can't believe that guy's still in the
league. It's Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins. And did you see Haskins last night?
He looked bad.
He is not ready.
I mean, he was struggling to figure out which team he was supposed to throw to, Coach.
Yeah, so I know we were talking about who would the Niners rather had played, Tampa Bay or Miami. I know we said you guys were on Miami. I'd still rather had played Tampa Bay because I think the quarterback in Miami – he outplayed Jameis Winston last year. The team wanted to stay with Fitzpatrick. So I'd rather still play Tampa. But now there's a team that I wish was the first team they're playing, the Washington Redskins. After you watching that game last night, my goodness.
Redskins are going to be terrible. Bet the under. They're going to be an absolutely terrible football team this season. Jay Gruden's going to get fired, and they're just going to start the whole thing all over again. Haskins, the reason they liked Haskins was that Daniel Snyder's kids went to high school with him in the D.C. area. That's your evaluation process? Okay, sure.
Weird.
I liked Haskins at Ohio State, but you get put in that situation, no matter how good you are, some of these teams will just ruin some of these guys.
October 20th at Washington, 49ers at Washington. All of a sudden now you look at the Tampa game on the road, the Cincinnati game on the road, Washington on the road. I know you have the Rams before that. Of your first four road games, you could be 3-1 if things go the way that you guys are talking about in the first two, and this Washington team is as bad as they seem to be early on. All of a sudden, your road woes might be put away early in the year.
You're getting beat by homeless guys. There's no more analysis that's needed. Like the Niners are going. You can pen that one in, not pencil it in. What's more definitive than pen? Like
Sharpie.
Sharpie. Would that? What's the most definitive of the methods of communication?
Probably tattoo. You can go ahead and tattoo that on. Niners will beat Washington.
Yeah, I don't think there's probably anything more hardcore than that.
Maybe if you...
Facial tattoo it.
Wow.
Maybe etching is up there, too. You could face tat that.
If you carved it in the marble, like David.
Not bad.
What are you going to do with that? You can't take any of that back. You can't add marble back onto David. So, yeah. Put it in marble. Like Michelangelo. Put it in freaking marble. The Redskins are going to be terrible. The Niners are going to win that game.
Marble it, Curly.
Yeah.
And when you're etch it out of the homeless guy who ran the kickback against them last night.
They didn't touch him, Coach.
Yeah, he went untouched. He didn't even need to make moves. It wasn't like Deion Sanders back there. Right. He found a seam down the right side, and then he just ran straight. It was Forrest Gump at Alabama.
He had the football in one
Except
hand.
Except he's homeless.
Yeah. He carried homeless. A cardboard sign down the right sideline.
Wow.
It's hard to see in the highlight, but if you zoom in, you can.
Wow.
No, John? No? Too much? All right.
Way too
much. Pants falling down as he's running into the end zone.
Too much, Dibs.
And of course, he's got to have a dog with him, too, because, you know.
Yeah, and a cell phone. Because I've noticed that they all have cell phones, too, that are working.
I'll stop. I had five more, Coach, but I'll stop.
Please.
You are listening, too. Believe it or not, 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1, San Francisco, a radio.com sports station. Good morning and welcome to the 8 o'clock hour of Jolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It is great to have you with us. A lot of shuffling with the guests today, so here's what's coming up. George Teague, former Cowboys defensive back. If you remember George Teague, he's the one that ran out to the Star to knock T.O. off it when T.O. was celebrating in Dallas back in the day. We're going to talk to him at 8:30 about that. Then we're going to take that audio. We're going to play it for T.O. next Tuesday at 8:30 because T.O. is going to join this show every Tuesday at 8:30 from now through the Super Bowl. John Clayton, NFL insider extraordinaire at 9:05. Danny White, Super Bowl champion, former Dallas Cowboy quarterback at 9:30. Tim Roy at 9:45. The latest loser for Bet162 at 9:50. We got English Premier League locks from Dibs at 9:50 and 41 minutes from now, tickets to see Wiz Khalifa. Three pairs of tickets were given away at 8:45. Woo! That's a lot.
It's a busy Friday, Coach. That's busy show for busy people.
Well, tomorrow we got our first preseason game. Niners hosting the Cowboys. And the big fella's going to be down there working pre and post on the sidelines. How about that? Now, for those of you just joining us, you're going to be working for KPIX tomorrow.
Yep.
You're going to be on the sideline pre and post. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Now, we need help from the Chilton Auto Body text line 95795. you really don't have a say in this matter. We're going to need you to slide something funny into the broadcast so that we can all get enjoyment out of this broadcast. Are you willing to acquiesce if it's not too egregious of a request?
Absolutely. Let's get it in. Let's make it happen. Come up with some requests. What do you guys want to get done? And we'll make it happen, Joe. We'll make it happen.
Now, you've made it clear you will not say the moo. You will not do that to your precious
Don't anymore. Even know what that is.
Okay, so that one's out.
Disappointment.
I think that you could, there's different levels to this, but you could certainly, you know, get in some solid low level one material of some of your great cliches, some of your great isms, like, you know, walk carefully with your arm or with your hand in the lion's mouth, or sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you. Some of those great isms that you have.
Yeah.
I think that would be kind of like the first way to kind of get into it. And then the second level would be show material and maybe an uptick with an arm sweep and that sort of thing.
If you finish the hit with an uptick and an arm sweep,
that's golden.
I think that's job well done.
I think I can get that in. I really do believe that I can get some of these things in. And I think it'll be done in a very, very unique way. And
classy, too.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Wear the tuxedo.
Oh, sure. Sure.
I think a sure, or I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I think those go without saying, that, you know, the ability to work that in. And
no question.
Nikki Bosa.
As O'Donnell's trying to ask him a question. Sure, sure.
Sure.
I'm going to need a definite.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.